Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, everyone. Being able to educate your board is one of the most important ways for a leader to build strong relationships and foster a positive and productive culture between board members and their executive director. Run by leadership expert Mark Buzan, the Nonprofit Board Summit provides outstanding know-how, resources, and tips for leaders looking to step up and unlock the full potential of their endeavors. If you're a nonprofit executive director looking to build a stronger board, visit nonprofitboardsummit.org/EDS. Or if you are a board member looking to make more of an impact, visit nonprofitboardsummit.org. The Nonprofit Board Summit runs from February 26th through the 28th. I'll hope to see you there. Hey, welcome to the show. This week, I have a special guest for you, Alec Green. He's the Chief Marketing Evangelist at Cornerstone On Demand Foundation, and they have a program that you might have heard of called Nonprofit Ready. But before we get into the interview, I just want to give a shout out to the Nonprofit Architect Alliance Mastermind Group. Come in, learn from your peers, listen to our guests, maybe experts like Alec. We'd be happy to come in and talk and deep dive on a specific topic and just do this thing, but you're not doing it alone when you're in the group. You get accountability, you get clarity on your next steps, you get the how to do the thing, and you have a group where you can bounce ideas off of so you're not going this thing alone. Alec, how are you doing today?
Hi, Travis. I'm doing well. Thanks a lot for having me.
I know it's about lunchtime here in OKC, and you just got done with breakfast over on the West Coast, but just good weather here today. How the fires doing out there? Have they died down yet?
The literal fires have died down here in Southern California, but we have, I'm sure, other fires we're dealing with. Maybe metaphorical fires these days, right?
metaphorical fires. You know, we're recording this during the week of the election, and this probably won't come out till January, but you know, we still don't know who the president starting in 2021 is going to be yet, but that's okay. We're not nervous. We know it's going to be somebody and everything's going to be just fine. But
hopefully we'll have it figured out by January, right?
I hope so. This is going to come out in January. People will be listening to be like, well, you guys were way wrong. We have no idea who the president's going to be. I have no idea. I'm not in charge of that stuff. But why don't you share with the guests what you do with Cornerstone On Demand Foundation and then, you know, jump into the program of Nonprofit Ready?
Sure. So basically my role with the Cornerstone On Demand Foundation is to help people become aware of the various programs we have and the impact that we're having in the nonprofit sector and really how we execute on our mission of transforming the way people help people. Right. So we started back in 2010. We are an offshoot of a technology company called Cornerstone On Demand based here in Santa Monica. And we take the learning platform from Cornerstone On Demand and the technology and the content, the learning content that has been donated to us, made available to us, and we make it available to individuals and organizations across the nonprofit sector so that they can develop their people, so individuals can develop themselves, and ultimately nonprofits can have a greater impact in the communities that they serve.
That's perfect. That's along the same lines of what we do here with the Nonprofit Architect. We just do it interview style, and I've actually been to Nonprofit Ready and looked at all the offerings and baseline really instructional material and courses that you have to offer. And I know you just came out with Grant Seeking Essentials in the past week here. And this would be, you know, a couple of months ago when this thing airs. But you got Nonprofit Ready, you do Disaster Ready, which is a lot of the same type of things, only in the disaster preparedness realm as well.
That's right. I mean, I think we started out working directly with nonprofits, and what we found is that the nonprofit organizations, primarily larger ones that had large employee populations along with large volunteer populations, there was a need for ongoing professional development. People working in the nonprofit sector traditionally need to take on a number of different roles. And in order to be successful in those roles, you need to have training. And for many organizations, they are put in a position where they have to choose between, you know, how do you allocate limited funds, limited resources? And so that need for professional development is there, but sometimes it becomes difficult to justify the costs required to send people to training, to pay for expensive classes, to give people the certifications that they need on an ongoing basis. And we thought about what we can do to help nonprofits in being more effective in their community. And I think where we are sort of uniquely positioned to help is that we have access to this learning technology. And we have access to these learning resources through our relationship with Cornerstone On Demand. And if we can curate those resources and find the learning resources that would be most impactful to nonprofits and make them available to anyone to use for free, then we can have a pretty dramatic impact. And we identified these sectors in which we focus. We started in disaster relief. It was an area of focus of our foundation from the beginning. And we've partnered with very large NGOs all over the world. And what we found is, you know, organizations like Save the Children will develop, they have the resources, they have a team that will actually develop training for their staff on topics like personal safety and security. Obviously, if you work in an NGO, one of the areas that they need to focus on is ensuring that their people stay safe. They're working in very dangerous locations all over the world. And in order to travel to these locations, they need to ensure that the proper safety protocols are being put in place. So they will develop these training resources. And what's been really inspiring for me to see is they will actually take these training resources and say, well, why should only our organization benefit from it, right? We all sort of have the same mission all over the world. And we can take the training resources that we've developed and actually make it available to the entire sector through a program like Disaster Ready. So it's been really inspiring to see where nonprofits that maybe have the resources, have the human resources and the financial resources to develop their own training, don't just keep it within their own walls. They want to make it available. They want to share it with other nonprofits. And that's just one example. There's nonprofits that have done that. There are for-profit companies that have done that. There are consultants, there are individuals. There are people all over the world who said, yeah, you know, I've got knowledge that I want to share. And if you have a platform to share it with, in this case, Disaster Ready or Nonprofit Ready, then I would absolutely like to make it available there. And they've done that. We have over 1,000 learning resources in Disaster Ready. All of them are free. We have over 500 in Nonprofit Ready. All of them are free. We have resources that are available in different languages, Spanish, French, Arabic, and English. And they are really there just for people to take advantage of. Individuals can go and sign up. There's no limit to the number of courses you can take. And it's funny because, you know, people sometimes ask me sort of, what's your biggest challenge in marketing these programs? And my response is, my biggest challenge is convincing people that everything is actually free, that there's no catch, that we're not trying to sell something. This is not a situation where you sign up for Nonprofit Ready and then you're going to start getting a bunch of emails for things that you need to buy, and we're actually using it to try to, you know, sell your information to someone else. No, we're actually just making everything available for free, and that's really our mission, is to increase access to education and enable nonprofits to have a greater impact and enable individuals to really advance their career in the nonprofit sector.
See, and I love that. You're helping the good guys do better things, and you're helping them do it for free. You know, one of the reasons that I started the Nonprofit Architect is I saw the huge gap between people with this great idea and vision, but they didn't yet know how to maybe run a nonprofit or, you know, run it as a business, and they weren't familiar with either world, and they're in this and they want to do good things. And I didn't have the skills, you know, when I started to help everybody or to give them all the details, but I knew that I could bring on experts like yourself that would speak life and speak the how-to and provide some encouragement and, you know, give us some of those, you know, actionable steps to do the good stuff we're trying to do and do it better. So, I mean, anyone that's listening to this out there, you can go to Disaster Ready or Nonprofit Ready and download the free training material, do the courses, and get certified. I mean, I stumbled on a Nonprofit Ready for a certification program. They had a feedback form like, well, tell us what you think and why you did this. And I filled it out, and Alex set up a call with me, and here we are. And it's amazing that, you know, the people that say they're actually doing good online are actually doing good. And it's wonderful to find someone like yourself that's willing to do that. So if someone is like developing their own course, what kind of things would they have to do to get it included at Nonprofit Ready or Disaster Ready?
Yeah. So we get donations of courses all the time, and we're incredibly grateful for the individuals and organizations that reach out to us to donate their courses. And when we say courses, courses can take any number of forms. We have traditional e-learning courses, you know, maybe if you're used to actually going on a website and you click through the different screens and you answer questions, those are e-learning courses. But, you know, a video, an interview like we're doing today, can be a learning resource. People can learn just by listening to people talk. We have PDF documents. There's all sorts of, you know, interactive guides. Courses can take all sorts of different forms, and you can just reach out to us at, you know, Nonprofit Ready, info@nonprofitready.org. Just send us an email and we would love to talk to you, because we have requests from our learners all the time for new resources, right? I mean, that's where you have any type of learning program like this. We have to constantly come up with new ideas and new courses, and there's new topics that are coming up, new challenges that are being addressed across the nonprofit sector all the time. So we're always adding new courses to the library. The library is always expanding, and we welcome any opportunity to include people's knowledge, of people who share our mission of wanting to just share knowledge and share expertise across the nonprofit sector, then, you know, Nonprofit Ready is a great opportunity to do that.
That is amazing. And I love your passion for the nonprofit world. What is your why? How did you get started in the nonprofit sector, and what brought you to where you are now?
So as an individual, I mean, for me, myself, my story, you know, I think a lot of it obviously has to do with my parents and my upbringing. My dad has always been a writer. He's written in many different forms. And one of the, I think, and this is actually something I see with a lot of the people who come to Nonprofit Ready, is one of his jobs as a writer was as a grant writer, right? He would help nonprofits in writing grant proposals for them. And he would talk a lot about that work compared to sort of maybe some of the other writing projects he did. And I always saw the impact that work he had in working directly with nonprofits and how passionate he was about it. And it was something I was inspired by. So I think that's what drew me to it in the first place. I have experience in the for-profit sector as well, prior to coming to the Cornerstone On Demand Foundation. And I think I found it sort of my point in my life that there is nothing more rewarding than doing this type of work, where you can wake up every day knowing that you're actually helping the people who are actually going out and helping others. You mentioned sort of writing in and telling us why you signed up for Nonprofit Ready. After you sign up for Nonprofit Ready, you receive an email that basically asks a simple question, which is, why did you sign up? And it's my favorite part of the day is usually when I'm eating breakfast, I will read the email responses. And we get about probably 20 responses a day from people who have signed up. And hearing their stories as to why they signed up for Nonprofit Ready and what they're trying to do in the nonprofit sector. These are people who are trying to start a nonprofit. They've got a crazy idea, something they're passionate about, and they want to start a nonprofit, but they don't know the first thing about running a nonprofit. And they hear about Nonprofit Ready and they come because they want that information. They've got the passion, but they need the knowledge to go along with it. And that's what inspires me every day to continue doing the work we're doing, is that I know we have a critical role to play. You know, you and I, we share the same mission, right? Which is, we know there are people out there who have the passion and can do incredibly impactful work if you give them the knowledge, the tools to go out there and execute, right? And I think that's what we're all looking for in our jobs, in our life, in a lot of different ways. And it's incredibly inspiring for me to work with a team here at nonprofitready.org that actually makes that a reality.
That is so refreshing to hear. I've shared my journey, my personal reasons for why I do this over, you know, last couple of weeks of nonprofit architect interviews, but it's really satisfying. It's really exciting when I get to get in an interview and talk with someone that's really passionate about what they do, whether they're helping the helpers like you and I do, or they have a specific mission where they're pouring into someone's life and trying to create a better environment, either in general or for a specific group of people. And it's wonderful to see just how fired up, you know, their passion helps get me all fired up and I get all excited. And I walk away from, you know, a lot of people are zoomed out. They've been on these conference meetings. I'm zoomed up. I do these and I get fired up, ready to go. I got to take a nap after these because I'm just so exuberant. I do a quick nap and then I'm ready for the rest of the day. It's very exciting as opposed to my kind of current work life where I go into an office and I do paperwork, which is a little bit less than exciting. And people are like, are you ready to like do this full time? Absolutely. Absolutely. I can come in here and share with someone's passion and help them do what they're doing a little bit better. Then you get that aha moment when the light bulb goes off and they're like, you mean I can do it like that and it's not going to cost me any money? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can get money rolling in with a product without having to spend any of your own cash or do any of the work. And they almost don't believe me that it's that simple and that straightforward. And I just love seeing how that works and how that transition happens. Jumping back to you, I see that you got your MBA from UCLA. How has that helped impact the vision and what you do for the nonprofit world?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, going to business school was another really good decision in my life. I think I was at a point where I didn't know what I wanted to do. I mean, I went to a liberal arts college and I don't know if, you know, I have a son who's applying to college now. And it's interesting to sort of go through that process again with him and sort of thinking back to when you're 17 or 18 years old and thinking about what you want to be when you grow up and all these types of decisions. And I realized, you know, going to a liberal arts college, it was really helpful for me in terms of improving my writing skills, my critical thinking skills, but you sort of come out of it not really being sort of trained to do anything in particular, other than maybe write well and think critically. So going to business school was a really nice opportunity for me to sort of look at the world in a more data-driven way. I think is my big takeaway is really starting thinking about how do you analyze problems? How do you deconstruct situations? And how do you look at it critically using data? It was a big focus of mine in business school. And I think there's the opportunity to do that in the nonprofit sector as well, really in anything, in any situation, but particularly for us at Nonprofit Ready, we look at it as, you know, as really a data-driven challenge, right? How can we identify the topics that are of most value to our learners? How can we identify resources using data that will be of most value to our learners? Because ultimately what we're talking about when we think about developing new resources, new learning resources, or finding new learning resources is an allocation of time and money and expense, right? Just like any nonprofit has to think about managing their time and expenses, we do the same. We have to do the same types of calculations. And I think approaching it like a business in terms of saying, well, I have this many hours in a day, you know, human resources. I have this much, you know, we have a budget, we have a constrained budget, just like any nonprofit, and we have a program we have to run and we have to think about outcomes and impact measures. And we may call them different things in the for-profit sector compared to the nonprofit sector, but it's ultimately the same calculation, right? It's how can I get the biggest ROI? How can I get the biggest return on investment? And I think just having that mindset from business school and then, you know, maybe even if I didn't take nonprofit specific classes in business school, that mindset and bringing it to the problem we're trying to solve of how do we take limited educational resources and make them available to as broad an audience as possible has been really inspiring for me. And I think that training has really helped me in maximizing the impact that we've had at Nonprofit Ready.
That's really cool. I mean, you can look at what someone in business might do in order to reach a certain amount of profit in, say, like the last quarter of 2020. And you look at similar ways in the donor world. Like if you want to raise $10,000, you might find that you need to get on average 100 donors. But in order to get 100 donors, you might have to sit 500 calls. So it's not that you're raising $10,000, it's that you're setting 500 calls. And out of those 500 calls, you know that you had to have 1,200 introductions. So really, it's not that you had to set 500 calls, that you had to track down 1,200 introductions. So you're not raising the money directly. You just know that if you hit those benchmarks, that you're going to reach your goal. And it's a different way to look at what the need is of the organization versus what the actual work input is going into it. I know that, you know, being in the Navy, especially flying for the Navy for the last 8 years, there's a lot of things that they do that is systems and engineering driven, And if you don't have the systems in place in your nonprofit and you're listening to this, if you just kind of, you know, do things off the cuff and you don't really have, like in the Navy, we call it a battle rhythm, but this would be your daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly schedule that you're following, the things that you're going to do in order to hit your goals. That's something that you got to look at. You have to understand what the input to the system is. I have had a few people on recently that deal with CRM, you know, customer resource management, and what that might look like. Like, you just got a $10,000 check from this one donor. You're not going to ask them the next day via email to donate $5 to whatever your next campaign is. You need to have those people segmented in different groups depending on their level of giving or their level of involvement thus far. Have you seen how systems help really the nonprofit world from your point of view? I don't know if that's something that we talked about before.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, look, I look at, and maybe this is, again, I think you and I both have maybe a little bit of an outsider's perspective in terms of coming with prior experience into the nonprofit sector. And it's interesting because when I talk to people, I think people in the nonprofit sector know this, right? They know that nonprofits are businesses, but people outside the nonprofit sector may not. They may not think of nonprofits as businesses. And maybe I was even guilty of that before I really got into the, you know, working in a nonprofit directly. But I've sure realized in my last, you know, 8 years here at the Cornerstone On Demand Foundation and with Nonprofit Ready is Nonprofit Ready. I mean, we are a business. We are a 501c3, but we are a business. And I think that means that you really have to manage your business, like in terms of metrics, right? Knowing what those key performance indicators are and having the dashboards in place and investing in data is critically important, whether you are one to two people, you know, working in sort of a more of a startup environment, or it's a nonprofit of 1 to 2,000 people. Data is the key to inform decision-making. And I just think that's true. I think if you don't have data that can really help you understand where are the opportunities for improvement, where can I maximize my impact, how can I allocate my resources most effectively, you may be successful for a short period of time, but it's going to be a real challenge to sustain that over time. So I think that's been critically important for us at Nonprofit Ready is really making that investment in data. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard when you're, especially when you're in that sort of startup mode, to be thinking about how do I put those dashboards in place? How do I think about, you know, tracking data, whether it's in terms of visitors to my website or like you were mentioning with in terms of donors and, you know, activity against certain donors in order to maximize donations. Making that investment in data, yeah, obviously is going to increase the amount of work in the short term, but if your goal is to be sustainable in the long term, to me, it's the only path to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in the podcasting world, and it doesn't have a lot to do with nonprofit stuff, you know, I'm listed under a nonprofit, under business, then under nonprofit as the genre for this podcast. And you get, you know, emails that say where you're ranked, and it's excited to hear that you're now number 6 in the US, number 8 in Canada. And then someone asks, like, well, what are your download numbers? Well, the download numbers directly for me might not sound like a lot compared to someone like Joe Rogan or Tim Ferriss or what NPR has for their download numbers. It's important to understand that the sector and the niche that you find yourself in. You might find that you're, you know, working to combat human trafficking, and the kind of reach that you're going to get and the kind of people that care about those kinds of things are going to be different than a group that might care about feeding the homeless. You have to understand who your niche is, what people in what sector care about, who you are and what you're doing, and that your numbers are not going to, they might be industry specific, but they might also be industry and location specific depending on what's going on. You know, the outlook for the nonprofit world, I'm sure, is much different in the Santa Monica area than it is in the Oklahoma City area. There's different things based on location, based on weather, based on whatever it is that you determine that you're looking for, but understanding what it is vital to your success. I know that I love hitting up the local speaking circuit. I like to go talk to Chamber of Commerce and Rotary Clubs and Masonic organizations and different things here. but now at Santa Monica, you might have a different kind of club that is more active. I don't even know. I don't know if the Lions Club is big out there, or the Eagles, or the Elks, or whatever you have out there that we don't have here. I don't know. But knowing what those things are is going to make the difference between success as you view it or failure as you view it.
You know, we talk a lot about the addressable market, right? And really, I think to me, that starts with identifying who your customer is, or who's the audience that you seek to serve, or the audience that you seek to reach. Because I think you can get really confused and maybe get a false sense of reality by looking at just numbers and saying, we're just focused on numbers. Like you mentioned your example of podcast listeners. For us, you know, we have 150,000 active learners on Nonprofit Ready. And certainly that's one of the metrics that we measure on a daily, weekly basis is, you know, how many people are signing up. As a marketer, I have to think about, do I just want to get people to sign up, or do I want to get the right people to sign up? Because certainly using tools like the Google Ad Grant, which we use in order to generate new learners for Nonprofit Ready. And if you're not familiar with the Google Ad Grant, it's certainly, I think, a great resource. To me, it's the one marketing tool that I wish every nonprofit knew about. Certainly through Nonprofit Ready, we use it as a key educational tool to make sure people really do understand that and can take advantage of it.
And if you're not familiar with it, check out the interview I did with Preston Cohn, where we walk you through how to apply for, get, and utilize the Google Ad Grant.
Fantastic. Because I love that Google does it. I wish Facebook would do it. I do something similar because I think, you know, Facebook advertising and Google advertising to me are two of the best ways to try to reach the right audience, right? And that's what we try to preach. That's what we really talk about in terms of, you know, marketing and marketing effectively as nonprofits is you can go out and get people to sign up, or you can go and get, you know, you can build your list all day, or you can buy lists, but you're not necessarily reaching the right audience. So going back to my example of Nonprofit Ready, you know, we have 150,000 active learners. And you know, anytime, especially with our program, just as an example, you know, we're offering free online learning. It is targeted to people who work in the nonprofit sector, but there is nothing that precludes really anyone from signing up. So that's a decision we made. We don't require you to have a .org email address or verify with us that you actually work in a nonprofit. We just trust that you either work in the nonprofit sector or you're interested in working in the nonprofit sector, and that's why you've signed up. So certainly if I was only focused on getting individuals to sign up, there are a number of different marketing tactics I could take to do that. But that would not be a very effective use of my time because that's not our goal. Our goal is not to increase our numbers. Our goal is to maximize our impact. And the way we're going to maximize our impact is by getting individuals who are working in the nonprofit sector or are trying to work in the nonprofit sector to be more effective in their role. So just getting people to sign up for the sake of signing up, or getting people to listen to your podcast for the sake of listening to your podcast, will make your numbers go up, but it doesn't ultimately help you achieve your mission. So it's one of the areas that you really have to focus on is not only investing in the data so that you have that visibility, but really knowing what are you trying to achieve, and then ensuring that your metrics and your tactics are all aligned toward that goal, toward that particular mission, to the strategy that you have set.
Absolutely. And the type of person really, really makes a difference. Last spring, this would have been spring of 2019, I was doing some things in the financial world and someone's like, you want to have 5,000 Facebook friends. You could totally increase your impact if you had 5,000. That's 5,000 people that have the potential of seeing your stuff every day. And I went through and I vigorously added a bunch of people that I didn't know. And it got to the 5,000 benchmark. And what I found is all the things that they were talking about had nothing to do with the things I was doing at the time. And I've eventually been weeding them out and trading them out. Like if, for instance, if you're on my page right now, you're not going to see people that just share memes nonstop. People that'll share five or six things at a time. I started weeding those people out because they weren't providing me any value. They weren't providing value to my business. They didn't have a real voice. And what I started replacing them with is I'm in a few different nonprofit groups that talk about things all the time. And I decided, who is it that I would like to reach? Who could benefit most from the things that I'm sharing, the interviews that I'm conducting, and the things that we're offering with the Nonprofit Architect? And I came up with people that are active on Facebook groups in the nonprofit world. So if I post something in there, in one of the nonprofit groups that I'm in, I'm going to add you as a friend, first off, because I much prefer to be around people that are actively doing something. A, B, I think that aligns more with what I'm doing in my vision. And C, I'm not going to invite you to my group directly, but as I post stuff and as things go out and as people start to understand who I am and what I care about, they're going to start going to my group on their own. And again, this is recorded the week during the election. I've had like 15 people asked to join my group in the last couple of days, and I don't even know who some of them are. So someone out there is saying and sharing the good stuff that I'm doing and talking about, and I'm getting the people into my private group, the Nonprofit Architect Podcast Community Group, that really care about these things. So I'm not just filling it up with a bunch of people that aren't going to care about. You end up getting trolls and people that'll drag your name through the mud, or just you're not in alignment with your vision, mission, and passion. So getting and knowing who your audience is and who they should be, I think, is vitally important. I've talked a few times about, you're not going to go try to raise money for the group that you're trying to help. You're not going to go to homeless people and ask them to donate to your group so then you can turn around and feed the homeless. That's not the goal, and that's not what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I mean, I think it's critically important to identify those people, and then I think what you've done a good job of is putting out authentic, organic content on the topics that those people are interested in. And again, that also goes back to that bucket of that's hard work, right? When you're in a nonprofit that's just starting up, it's hard to say, well, I'm going to also spend time blogging, or I'm going to spend time putting out podcasts, or I'm going to spend time putting content out on social media about that particular topic, because it's just more work. And there's only so many hours in the day. But if you really want to start to build that audience organically, and the right audience, the people who are really interested in the topics and the content that you're interested in, you have to do that work. You have to put that information out there, and it may not spread at first. But if you put enough of it out there with a regular cadence, and people see it and they trust it, they will share it. I mean, I think that's been one of the most amazing developments to witness as a marketer of the last, in terms of what's changed from today, from when I went to business school a long time ago. I mean, social media is an absolute game changer, right, for marketing. So, and I don't think that's anything novel. I don't think it's anything particularly new or interesting to say necessarily, but thinking about how you as a marketer or you as a nonprofit executive director can leverage social media to build your audience and to build interest in your cause and to build support for the work that you're doing, it's absolutely the blocking and tackling of building that audience and starting to grow the following.
You mentioned in that last little bit there about podcasting or blogging to help build an audience. And I got to say that that's one of the most vital things you can do for your nonprofit. More often than not, you go to a nonprofit website and it's a digital pamphlet with a donate button, which is all great and well. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's no reason for people to come back to your website. Whatever your cause is, we mentioned human trafficking a little bit ago. There are people out there that are already producing content in this area. There's people that have podcasts in this area. There's people that do blogs in this area. And you can create partnerships with those people. Since we're on this topic, I think Amanda Mahaffey came on and we did an interview about human trafficking. She can reach out to these people that are creating this content already, and she can offer to host it on her website, which does a lot of things for you. A, it helps your SEO. B, if they're searching for this article and they happen to come across it with the link into your website, now instead of being on their page, they're on your page. And they're like, ooh, what is this other stuff about human trafficking? Oh, and I can help and I can contribute and donate. Oh, and I have a t-shirt here I can buy that shows that I'm helping this organization. And the other thing that does great with like Google rankings is the more often that A, you have traffic, and B, that more often your website is updated, the higher it's going to rank on Google. So right now, if you Google the Nonprofit Architect Podcast, I think I'm like 19 of the first 20 things on there, which I get big thumbs up from the marketing guys all the time. which is fantastic, but it's because I'm putting out content each and every week, and there's a reason for it to be updated, and people have a reason to go back to my site over and over and over again. And that's what you want. And if you don't have a quote unquote real blog or real podcast, you can share this stuff in your Facebook community that's going to have information that other people care about. Just because it's not your organization doing the good thing doesn't mean you shouldn't help spread the news of what is going on in the world that they care about.
Yeah. And I think what's also changed is there are so many different opportunities and different ways to get your message out there. Think back to 20 years ago when sort of everything was behind a media wall and you had to basically gain access from a media organization in order to get your message out there. Now you have so many, there's too many different ways. We have too much content. We have too much generated content out there, be it through podcasts or blogs or YouTube videos or tweets or Facebook posts or whatever it is. And what I always tell people is, do what you're comfortable with. Do what comes easiest to you. Do what you enjoy doing. So if Travis enjoys doing podcasts, fantastic. I think it's great that you've started this podcast. It's obviously something you enjoy doing. It's something that comes naturally to you. Others may not be as comfortable in a podcast format. They may not be as comfortable interviewing people or having discussions with people, but they love writing, right? And they can write really interesting blog posts. There's other people that, you know, can produce really interesting YouTube videos. There's people who are more comfortable in a 140 character tweet, and they can put out 25 tweets a day. Whatever you're most comfortable with, any type of content that's authentic, that's native to your voice, it will ultimately find an audience. People say, well, what should I do? Should I start a podcast? Should I do a blog? I always say, do what comes easiest to you. Do the things that come easy to you that seem really hard for others, and you will ultimately be successful. You'll ultimately get your word out. There will be an audience for it.
Absolutely. I'm digging all this conversation, but to be respectful to your time and mine, I got to run, but where can people get a hold of you and remind us of the website for Nonprofit Ready?
Yeah. So it's nonprofitready.org. As I mentioned, there's over 500 learning resources. Those are videos, courses, PDF documents. And then we've added a series of certificate programs on topics like grant seeking, fundraising, nonprofit essentials, which is really just sort of the basics of working in the nonprofit sector. We have new certificates coming out in finance and marketing. So we're really excited about those certificate programs. It's a great opportunity to add a certificate to your resume or to your CV or your LinkedIn profile. And it's also just a great way to build foundational skills. So nonprofitready.org, it takes about 30 seconds to sign up. And like I said, everything on there is free, and we'd love to have you in our learning community.
Hey, thanks so much for the great discussion today, Alec.
Thank you, Travis, and thank you for all the great work you're doing with the Nonprofit Architect.
Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Being able to educate your board is one of the most important ways for a leader to build strong relationships and foster a positive and productive culture between board members and their executive director. Run by leadership expert Mark Buzan, the Nonprofit Board Summit provides outstanding know-how, resources, and tips for leaders looking to step up and unlock the full potential of their endeavors. If you're a nonprofit executive director looking to build a stronger board, visit nonprofitboardsummit.org/EDS. Or if you're a board member looking to make more of an impact, visit nonprofitboardsummit.org. The Nonprofit Board Summit runs from February 26th through the 28th. I'll hope to see you there.